Please turn in the Word of God again to the book of Genesis. Those are two very good offerings in such short a space of time. And we thank you sincerely for your thoughtfulness to the work. And may the Lord be pleased to bless those gifts that they have been given unto him. Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to continue on tonight to think about the man who built altars. And we'll read just the same verses that we read the first time. Genesis chapter 12, commencing to read at verse 1. Let us now hear the word of God. We'll read down to the end of verse 7. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gathered, the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sychem, unto the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there buildeth he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. May God bless his word. As I mentioned last time, individual Bible characters are often remembered in different ways and for various reasons. Noah will always be remembered as the man who built the ark, and Solomon as the man who built the temple. However, as I mentioned last time, Abraham was a man who traveled throughout the land of Canaan building altars. Consequently, he is known as the man of the altar. The last time we talked for a little time about the first altar that he built, and we consider two simple things about that altar, where he built his altar. In verse 6 it says, Abram passed through the land unto the place Sychem, later Shechem, unto the plain of Moreh. So he came and he travelled from the north right through the south, through the middle into the south of the land itself. Sychem, as I mentioned last time, signifies the shoulder, or the saddle. And in the human body, the shoulder is the place with the most strength. It also means the place of strength. And we drew your attention to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Speaking of Christ, the government shall be upon his shoulders, the strength of his shoulders. And then we mentioned the shepherd in Luke 15. When he found the sheep, he placed the sheep on the shoulders in that place of strength. Moreh, I hope you remember this, it means teacher or teaching, from which we get the idea of knowledge and instruction. And we said last time, it is only as we separate from the world and walk in God's path that we reach the place of strength. And that is where strength is found. And it is only in that place that we can enjoy fellowship with God and learn of him. So even in these little things, They're truths for us to learn, significant things, and they need to be applied to our own hearts and lives in these times. And then we thought for a moment or two about when he built his altar. In verse 7 it says, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, and then we also read at the end of the verse, he builded an altar unto the Lord. So the Lord appeared to him, and it would seem that the Lord appeared to him and spoke to him about having an altar in his life. He did not appear to him in Haran because he wasn't in the right place. But now he's in the right place with God, and the Lord speaks to him. And it's only as we are in the right place with God that we can hear the voice of God, that we can be taught and instructed through his precious word, and be strengthened in our faith as the children of God. In these times, we need to be in the right place. We always need to be hearing his word and knowing what we ought to be doing as the people of God, especially in these times. So God spoke to him about the need of having an altar, and we all need to have an altar as the people of God. We want to move on tonight and think for a little time about why he built his altar. Back in his own land, he had worshipped idols. Joshua 24 makes that abundantly clear. But now, in the land of Canaan, he raises a testimony for God, and he identifies himself as a worshipper of Jehovah. And his altar was really a confession of his faith. And his mission in the land of Canaan was that of a witness for God. And in these dark days in which we live, the purpose, the function of the church, and of course then individual believers, is to be a witness for God. His altar was a public testimony. And I say that because in verse 6 we read the Canaanite was then in the land. The Canaanites were pagans, they were heathens, and they needed to put their faith and trust in the God of Abraham. And here he was not ashamed to raise his altar in the presence of the heathen. He therefore witnessed a good confession before them. And when they could look from a distance, and when they could see the smoke arising from his altar, they knew that he was worshipping God. And the heathen were able to see something about this man. He was not like them. He was not like anybody else that they had known here before that. So when they could see the smoke rising, they knew that a man of God had come into their midst. A man of God was worshipping God around his altar. Now, the altar was a pretty crude kind of a structure where they could put the wood and then have the fire and then bring the sacrifice to offer to Jehovah. And away back even at that altar, in some wonderful way, the Lord showed Abraham Christ. And we need to see him tonight. We need to see Christ as we gather here in the place of prayer. So when you think of what I've said thus far, Abraham was walking by faith. The Lord told him that he would show him the land, and then he said, I'll give you the land. But God didn't reveal everything unto Abraham at the start. He wanted him to walk by faith. He wanted him to depend upon God for every step that he took. The Lord doesn't reveal everything unto us. He doesn't reveal his complete will for us. He leads us a step at a time. That's the way he works in these times. A day at a time, a step at a time. And that's the way it was with Abraham. He was walking by faith. He was worshipping by faith. And then he was witnessing by faith because he was among the ungodly and the heathen in his day. So we're told here that the Canaanite was then in the land, chapter 12 and verse 6. The next time we have a reference to the Canaanite dwelling in the land is the very next chapter, chapter 13 and verse 7. And we read in this sad verse, and there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. So the first reference is in chapter 12, and the second reference to the Canaanite dwelling in the land is in this verse 7 of chapter 13. And there we read about strife between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham. In chapter 12, verse 6, there is a testimony raised for God. Chapter 13 and verse 7, there's a testimony ruined for God. Do you see that? Everything was going well. God was blessing. God was leading Abraham a step at a time. He had raised his altar, but now there was strife between these brethren, and the testimony was ruined. And sometimes we, as the people of God, give a good testimony. And then sadly, at other times, unfortunately, we let the Lord down, and We let the Lord down before the ungodly, and that's a very sad thing. And we're all guilty of it, the preacher included. It begins here. And we've all had our failures. You've had yours, I've had mine. We all have had failures. But we need always, by the grace of God, to be worshipping by faith and witnessing by faith and walking by faith, to get to that place of strength that we might hear from God, that we might know how best to glorify Him. Because if we lose sight of the altar and Jehovah or the Lamb upon the altar, then we get into bypath meadow and strife and division can come in and the devil gets his way and the cause of God has to suffer. And it suffered way back then in Genesis chapters 12 and 13. So in chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, we see Abraham following the Lord. He passed through the land. I mentioned he's come in from probably Damascus down through the Golan Heights direction, down the coast of the Sea of Galilee, continuing on from north to south. He's passing through the land. He's still in the lowlands of faith, but at least he was making progress. He was taking one step at a time. And people saw him moving forward in his new life. Now, that's a question that we all need to think about for a moment. Just take a moment to think about what I said. People saw him moving forward in his new life. And we all need to ask the question, am I moving forward in my new life? Am I making progress? Am I moving on? Am I going on with God? The life of faith must never stand still. And you will notice the verbs used to describe Abraham's life at this time. In verse 4 of chapter 12, the word departed is used. In verse 5, he went forth. Verse 6, he passed through. In verse 8, he removed. In verse 9, he journeyed. God kept him moving on. He met new challenges every day. That's the thing. And that's a wonderful place to be dwelling at. It's an exciting place to be dwelling when we are facing new challenges every day in our walk with God. Never standing still. Always taking a step forward. God knows all about our starts in life. He knew when Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees, he went forth. That was the start. And then he knew about his stops because he came to Haran and he stopped there. And then in chapter 12, he departed again. He's starting all over again. God is the God of the second chance, you see. When he came to Haran, it wasn't the right place. That wasn't the place God had called him to. He wasn't in the right place. And he had to get out of that. And he had to move. He had to take a step out of that place. And that's the same with all of us. Sometimes we get stagnant and we just seem to get into a rut. And the Lord needs to move us on. And he does so ever so graciously. He's merciful too, as you know. And he continues to give us grace after grace after grace to move out of difficult situations, to move on with himself, to get to that place where he'd want us to be. Now, there's something interesting. In chapter 14 and verse 13, Abraham is called Abram the Hebrew. Now, I think that name is very significant. Isn't it interesting? The origin of the word Hebrew is thought to come from the root, from the name Eber, the great grandson of Shem and ancestor of Abraham. If you go back to chapter 10 and verse 24, we read about this man, Eber. And that name simply means belonging to Eber. And this is the first time in the Bible that we read of a Hebrew. And I think that's very significant. Another etymology of the word or the derivation of a word traces the original root back to the phrase from the other side. And in this case, the word Hebrew would be a word designating an immigrant. And Abraham really was an immigrant. You can read that there in chapter 12, verses 1, 4, and 5. He came from a different place. He was an immigrant. And the word that is used there means a region beyond, or across, or the opposite side, somewhere beyond. So Abraham initially came from beyond. He came from the other side. He came from another place, beyond. He was an immigrant. And this word comes from the Hebrew word, which is an interesting word, simply meaning to cross over. Remember the time when Joshua was speaking in chapter 24 of his book, and he addressed the people before the time of his death. And Joshua said unto all the people, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood, even Terah, father of Abraham. They served other gods there. I've mentioned this. And the word was, I took your father Abraham from the other side of the flood and led him throughout all the land of Canaan and multiplied his seed. Joshua 24, verses 2 and 3. Now, notice the words, the other side of the flood. Now, some of you may have studied this through. Some of you may be wondering tonight, well, what does that refer to, the other side of the flood? Well, let me tell you something. It does not refer to the flood in Noah's day. You might think, on reading that, that that would refer to the flood in Noah's day, in Genesis chapter 6, 7, 8, and 9. But it's nothing to do with that flood at all. It's not even the same word in the Hebrew. In Genesis chapter 6, the word is Mabul, and means the deluge. The flood was the deluge. And that deluge submerged the planet Earth for about a year. We know that from these chapters of the book of Genesis. But the word in Joshua chapter 24 is Nahar. It's a different word completely. And it means the river. Or sometimes it's translated the stream. Or floods. Or as in the case of Joshua, flood. But it's not referring to the flood in Noah's day. It refers to the river. And the reference in Joshua then is to the river Euphrates. Abraham crossed the river Euphrates on his way to the land of Canaan. So he crossed over from the other side into the promised land and became the first Hebrew mentioned in the Bible. Since Abraham was a Hebrew, his descendants were also called Hebrews. The Hebrews are therefore people descendants from Abraham. Now we know that Abraham lived initially in Ur of the Chaldees, Genesis chapter 11, 28 and 31, and was a Syrian by birth. He was a Syrian. He's referred to as such in the Bible. Jacob, his grandson, is referred to as a Syrian. In Deuteronomy 26 and verse 5, thou shalt speak and say unto the Lord thy God, a Syrian, ready to perish, was my father, and he went down into Egypt and became a nation. That's a reference to Jacob. If Jacob was a Syrian, so was his grandfather. And you can read Genesis 25, verse 20, chapter 28 and verse 5, Abraham's kindred were called Syrians. Isaac took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, and Laban, the Syrian. So Abraham was a Syrian initially. And from Shem and his descendants came Eber, the ancestor of the Hebrews. And Eber's descendants through Nahor was Terah, the father of Abraham, and his brothers Nahor and Haran. It becomes clear then that if the Hebrews were descendants of Eber, then others besides those of Abraham's line could possibly be included. Strictly speaking, all of Abraham's descendants are Hebrews. This would include the descendants of Ishmael, who are the Arabs today. Also the descendants of Esau, grandson of Abraham, called Edomites. But by common usage, this name is applied to the nation of Israel only. So let's be clear, Abraham was a Hebrew, the first Hebrew. He was not an Israelite, nor was he a Jew, because neither existed at that particular point of time. Well, how do I know that? Well, we know the name of Jacob. We know he was a twister, he was a supplanter. And we know that they had a meeting with God at Peniel, Genesis chapter 32. And God touched them that night, but God did something else. God gave them a new name. What did they call them? Israel. So Jacob was the first Israelite. And that's why his descendants are called the children of Israel. The Israelites. So Abraham was not an Israelite, nor was he a Jew. Now, the word Jew is derived from the word Judah. Now, was Judah the first Jew? I think that one of the first references in the Bible is in 2 Kings chapter 16, verse 6. I think that's the first mention of the Jews in the Bible. But think about Judah, and then you think of the word derived from Judah. That's where the Jews got their name, the Jews. But Abraham was not an Israelite, nor was he a Jew. He was a Syrian who became the first Hebrew. And today, a Hebrew is usually thought of as a member of a group of ancient people who traced their lineage from Abraham through Isaac and Jacob. And that is how the Bible uses the term. After 400 years in Egypt, the Hebrews were recognizable as a distinct people. The opening chapter of the book of Exodus talks about the Hebrews. The Philistines in the land of Canaan used the term Hebrews in 2 Samuel 29. Jonah identified himself as a Hebrew, chapter 1 of his book in verse 9. And hundreds of years later, Paul was still using that same identification in Philippians 3, verse 5. Now, we're coming to an end now. The use of the Hebrew is a means of separating God's people from the rest of mankind. He is one who does not belong here. He's just passing through. We're thinking about Abraham. He was a man just passing through. He was a man from the other side. He crossed over the river. He was an outsider. He came to the land of promise. He became the first Hebrew. God brought him in. God dealt with him in grace. As mentioned earlier, the words pass through derived from the same root as the word from which we get the word Hebrew. So in a sense, Abraham was acting the Hebrew. Isn't that interesting? He was saying by his manner of life, I am a stranger here. I am just passing through. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. And that's the way it is with us. We don't belong here. We've come from the other side. We belong to the other side, if you like. Heaven is our home. That's our destination. We're just passing through. And he lived up to his name. He belonged to the other side, you see. That's the point. As a stranger, he had but a tent in the world. As a pilgrim, he was passing through to another world. When he came to the land of Canaan, he pitched his tent. He had no dwelling place there. And child of God, we're pilgrims bound for glory. We've been called of God to raise a testimony for him. Why he built his altar as a witness for God in a dark day of apostasy and departure from the things that were pure and holy. And we're just passing through. Now we've got to live in this world, and we need things to live in the world with. We use things that God has provided for us to make us comfortable. But we dare not get too comfortable here. This world will come to an end abruptly someday. And we have something beyond this place. We're pilgrims bound for glory. Let's live up to our name. Christian, you can't spell Christian without Christ in it. I've mentioned this before. And in these days, when there is a great alarming increase of ungodliness and rebellion against truth and righteousness and the church of God and the people of God and the Christ of God and the cause of God and the word of God. There's so many people undermining these things, these popular worldly people, making little of the things of God. We have a responsibility just to be like Abraham. Now, he was not perfect. No child of God is perfect. We have our shortcomings and our failures. But he maintained the testimony for God. When he kept close to the altar, but when he removed from the altar, then he went into bypass meadow and created all kinds of problems. That's applicable to us as well. So he was passing through to another world. He pitched his tent in Canaan, I'm going home. I'm a stranger here. I'm going home to see the king. This is not the end for me. The end is not yet, and the best is still to be. I was greatly impressed with Hebrews 12:11, verse 21, that great chapter of faith. And we read there, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, listen to it, worshipped leaning upon the top of a staff. He was still a pilgrim at the end of the journey of life. For when he was dying, when he came to the end, he leaned upon this pilgrim staff. What a way to go, leaving behind a good testimony for God. That's what we need to pray for. Oh God, keep us faithful. Keep us looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's why we need to be often at the altar. That's why we often need to be worshiping our God and taking a stand for truth and not being ashamed of taking a stand for Christ and truth and righteousness. Because we are pilgrims, because we represent Him down here. And then one day we will go up there, up to His place, up to His home, up to His house, to meet the people gone on before. And listen, you better pay attention to this, because Abraham might say to you, well, what did you think about the altar I built at Sychem? Did that brother ever not tell you about what I did there? But you'd be embarrassed if you weren't able to tell him about the points that the preacher talked about. That night he came to preach about the man who built altars. We're going home to see the king, you know. What a way to leave behind a good testimony for God. Where Abraham built his altar, Sychem, place of strength, place of teaching. When he built it, when God revealed it unto him, when God spoke to him, after having been silent for a while. And then why he built the altar, to be a witness for God in a dark day in the land of Canaan. So Abraham was walking by faith. Abraham was worshipping by faith. Abraham was witnessing by faith. What an example to follow. As he followed the Lord, we can follow Abraham. Ultimately, we follow Christ, but we can always learn from the good things found in the people of God and the good examples they set. Abraham was a man who built his altars. And may we often be found at the altar seeking the face of God. I've done it again tonight. I've preached far too long. We'll come back to another altar the next time, and I'll try and keep it short and to the point for the next season together. Let's get down to our time of prayer, keeping in mind what we've prayed about here, or what we've preached about, what we've thought about. Take something that's been in the message and include it in your prayer, and pray about the needs, the sick, the aged, the infirm, and all the needs of the congregation, about a man, about those who need the Lord.